Yesterday, I had to go out and run a couple of errands. Luckily, I didn't need toilet paper. I know. Thanks for sharing, but holy cow, that's all anybody was talking about. And I really had to laugh because they're talking about social distancing, and yet everywhere you look, there are people clustered together in little groups talking about the coronavirus. On the phone with us this morning is Amy Westbrook. She is the St. Louis County Public Health Division Director. And I imagine, Amy, that you have spent most of the last couple of weeks, if not longer, with the telephone glued to your ear. And if you're not on the phone, people want to buttonhole you and ask you questions about the coronavirus. Thanks so much for agreeing to let us join that list. It's good to have you this morning.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy to be here with you.
So the St. Louis County has done something super smart, I think, created an information line and also created a new web page to educate folks about the virus a little bit. Why don't you talk about those efforts quickly, and then I'll ask you some additional questions about our response and how to think smart about it right here in our little corner of the world.
Sure. Probably a couple of weeks ago, we wanted to make sure that as many people were getting information as possible. And so we did set up an information line and a more comprehensive website that links to the Minnesota Department of Health and the CDC for recommendations and guidance and ways to keep yourself, your family, communities, neighborhoods, as safe as possible as we're moving through this situation.
It's been really interesting to watch this unfold because, of course, I don't think many people have lived through an experience like this. And a lot of the reactions going on around us for people of a certain age, they're completely counterintuitive. I keep hearing my elderly relatives, I keep hearing their voices in my head and this nonsense about worrying about getting sick. And I hear them sort of scoffing at the whole thing in my head. Then there are people that are panicking about getting sick. And so there's sort of a reaction, a kind of a pushback. You kind of want to be a little sarcastic with them, which may or may not be appropriate. And then what's the deal with toilet paper? Well, I mean, are people like out of tissues? Are they planning to blow their nose in the toilet paper? How much toilet paper do people need for like a 2-week quarantine if that's where they have to be?
Right. You know, I'm not sure what that phenomena is going on with supplies such as toilet paper. I think people are nervous about the situation, and rightly so. It's good to have to be concerned about situations like these. We had a pandemic of influenza about 10 years ago. It didn't reach to this sort of level of panic and concern. So this is a different situation that a lot of, or almost all of us, haven't been in. So it does create a lot of unease and also probably a lot of skepticism too. For those who are sarcastic and not taking it seriously. But it is concerning. It should be concerning to everybody because we are seeing community spread, transmission occurring pretty quickly across the country and the world.
Well, I guess this was acknowledging my internal reactions to all of this stuff and realizing that, you know, internally I'm doing a lot of eye rolling. That's really not helpful. The important thing, I guess, is how do we think smart about this without either minimizing the danger or completely freaking out over the danger? What's the best way for people to try to steer a middle course and think smart about this and what they should do?
Right. So right now, transmission is or risk is low for the general population in the Northland. And that hopefully, you know, will take measures as community partners and the public health system to try and limit transmission. That includes doing what you can yourself to keep yourself healthy and your family healthy and communities healthy, which is the social distancing and, you know, especially those measures that we recommend every flu season and anytime regarding hand washing, proper hand washing, good hand washing, covering your cough, staying home when you're sick. Those messages really are just tried and true, and they do work. So those are the messages that we really want to get out for individual health and for community health, you know, to make sure that we are encouraging social distancing, so 6 feet apart, making sure that you're aware of needs of your neighbors is a good thing. Those sorts of things. And, I do understand where it's not, we haven't seen transmission in the Duluth area yet or across the northeast part of Minnesota, but it really isn't a matter of if, but when we'll see transmission. We know that this is spreading quickly, and we know that we are not immune to it up here.
I guess that was one of my questions, because I've talked to a couple of family members who have been concerned, and this is family in the cities. And my sense of it, and again, there's so much information out there that it's hard to separate truth from fiction, is that the coronavirus outbreaks are happening for the most part in larger cities, big cities in California, around L.A., around New York, places in New Jersey that are New York adjacent, and here in Minnesota, in the cities and suburbs of the cities. Are we seeing coronavirus outbreaks in other states that are in smaller towns like Duluth that are kind of in, for lack of a better word, the boondocks?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure of the, you know, where the virus is spreading in terms of densities of cities. It does make sense that we would see it in larger cities first, where there's just a higher density of people. But that, I don't interpret that as meaning that we won't see it in rural Minnesota.
Now, let's talk a little bit about our most vulnerable people. And they talk about the elderly, and they talk and you think about, as I was sort of thinking this through the other day, having kids running in and out of a nursing home, on the one hand, is a fabulous idea, or an assisted living facility, because you want kids to be there visiting their elders. But kids, of course, can carry germs. And so the idea that we're being super careful with, our parents and our older relatives. But many of our older relatives, I know in my family, already live a life of social distancing. And it's more a life of social isolation. And I'm concerned about how we can say that we're concerned about their physical well-being, but not neglect their emotional well-being, because they're already perhaps not having a lot of company, not having a lot of interaction. How do we take care of them, not just physically, but psychologically as we go through this time?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because there are certainly trade-offs when you institute those measures of social distancing and not, you know, being close to people. The elderly are certainly a vulnerable population, especially with, all respiratory and infectious diseases, especially this one because it's a novel virus. So we do want to make sure that we're taking the right precautions to protect especially the older adult population, the aging population, who are more susceptible to complications with this virus, and what looks like it's bearing out in the data. So there are some trade-offs. If visitors come to see older individuals, that they would certainly want to take precautions to make sure that they're washing their hands really well, that they're not getting too close. If they're not feeling well, they should not go visit individuals, or that would be what we would recommend. those sorts of things. So being smart about and being very vigilant about your own infection control practices that affect other people, especially older adults.
Now, is this maybe the time that you start to strong arm your elderly relatives into getting some kind of technology, a smartphone or an iPad or one of those little doohickeys, so that you can visit with them remotely, so that you can call them up and visit, you know, over the camera, if nothing else?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That certainly helps with preventing social isolation in a way. And there are a lot of platforms that you can do that with now. So that is definitely a good idea to, you know, if that's an option for people.
And I suppose that in some instances they might have to have some help from staff, and that might make, you know, give staff maybe an additional burden. But you're trying to talk them into it, and they're nah, I don't want to be bothered with it. Now you say no, it's really the thing we need to do now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Two final questions that I want to ask you. Obviously, we could talk about this and just scratch the surface for quite a while. But people say more people die of the flu. Wah, 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 wah. I've heard some really interesting, useful information about how this coronavirus compares to the flu. And one of the things is that it's an unknown quantity. It seems to spread more quickly than the flu. And because we don't have a vaccine or we don't understand it as well, that's one of the reasons why, or a couple of the reasons why, people are more concerned about this than the flu. Am I on the right track with what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's right. There are still a lot of things that we don't know about the coronavirus, this coronavirus. You know, what is the severity of illness compared to influenza? We talk about influenza every year. We know that it is seasonal, that we come into a flu season where we see peaks. And so we, as a community, we expect that, and we've sort of become, I guess, numb to the fact that we have flu circulating in our communities all the time. So the fact that this is a novel virus that we don't know a lot about, we're still learning, we're still really understanding the severity of illness that can be associated with it. Those certainly make it more concerning because we don't, it's just something new for us. So I think that we're still learning.
Then finally, in addition to your website and the information line, or maybe that's all people need, is there one place that you would recommend for people to go for information so that we can try to get folks as much as possible on the same page, but have that page be filled with facts and not fear or superstition or rumors, where people feel that they can go and they can check for information that they can trust is fact-based?
Yes. The Minnesota Department of Health maintains their information very up-to-date, and that has information that links to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and then it also includes a lot of prevention and control recommendations, as well as up-to-date information about Minnesota. And we work very closely with the Minnesota Department of Health. We're in daily communication with them, and they're doing a great job at getting information out and keeping us as the local public health system informed, as well as a lot of other community partners. And we're trying to do the same. We're trying to really make sure that there are open lines of communication with cities and townships and school districts and other key community partners in community transmission. So the Minnesota Department of Health is where I would recommend that people go for accurate and timely and appropriate information.
Well, we will get links set up so that folks have the information about St. Louis County's information line and your website, and also make sure that we get those links to the Minnesota Department of Health up so those are easy for folks to find also. Amy, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad to do it. Thank you.
Amy Westbrook is the St. Louis County Public Health Division Director. She joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning.